Boy, I love that song, amen. And we sure need Him. I need Him. You need Him. That's the need of the hour, the Lord. It's not like He's not here to be had. You've got to get to the place where you realize you need Him. He's always here, amen. He's present. And the problem is we like to say, you stay here till I think I need you. You need it. I can't do anything without it. But I can do all things with Him. So appreciate that good song. Take your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. Some of these verses here, I'm just going to read one. But a lot of times people don't run here till around the end of the year, around Christmas. But the Lord gave me a thought as I was reading. And hope it'll be a help to us today. Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. Again, we appreciate you being in the Lord's house. And want to encourage you this morning. Listen, we're not here to... Brother Russell asked me this morning if there's anything I needed, anything special. I said, well, maybe you could juggle fire or something. That might get the crowd going this morning. And then he said, I can juggle. And so we're not here to entertain you this morning. We sure are. As I was sitting there praying, as Brother Poplin was singing, somewhere in our hospitals today, there's doctors that are doing surgeries. People are laying on a table. Their life is hanging in the balance, and that doctor, as he performs that surgery, is doing the best he can. And I got to thinking, as we gather into this place, and as the Word of God is going to be taught and preached throughout our world today and the days ahead, how much more important it is that doctor, again, if that was you lay on the table, you want him to have all the time he needed, and you want him to do the best he could. But what we're dealing with is the soul of men. And how much more important that is to reach out and touch the hearts and the lives of people. And that's our desire today, that God would do that. I can't do it, but the Lord can do it this morning. And we appreciate you being in the Lord's house this morning. We just want to encourage you to live for the Lord. Give your heart and your life to Him. He's so precious. And we just want to see the Lord work in your lives. Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. If you can and you would, let's stand together. Not for anything else, but to honor and reverence the Word of God this morning. We're here in the presence of God today, not in front of man. The Bible says, and as we read here, I can't imagine as God was speaking to this man of God, this great prophet, as God allowed him to look down through the telescope of time, as Isaiah speaks here of something that lay ahead in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." What a verse this morning. Again, God allowed the man of God to look down through time and see this great prophecy that was coming. And we're going to deal just for a moment with what he saw. And then God's give us a thought here out of these verses. So let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, Lord, I ask you once again, Lord, would you please help us to die to ourselves today? God, would you take the Word of God and begin to work it into our hearts and our lives this morning, God? I pray today, God, that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl this morning, God, would let their hearts be attentive to what saith the Scriptures. God, I pray again, God, that you'd stir in our midst. God, if there is somebody here today that's lost, I pray, oh, God, today would be the day they'd see something like they've never saw before. God, help them today to see you standing before them, high and lifted up, arms open wide, saying, come. And, God, I pray, God, that you'd help us that are saved today, God, to stay on the battle lines. God, to fight a good fight. God, to keep pressing forward, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you accomplished here in this place. For it's in your precious name I do pray and ask. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And, again, as God is opening the eye of the man of God here, this great prophet by the name of Isaiah, and God allows him, and I can just sort of picture in my mind, to look down in through the telescope of time as he looked forward to seeing some things that God had in store. And we see here three things in Isaiah chapter 9 that the man of God prophesies of 700, 800 years prior to when they took place. Here in verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born." As the man of God looked down through the telescope of time, God allowed him to see a crib. God allowed him to see the birth of the Son of God there in Bethlehem. And how we know much about that as we think about, again, as I mentioned, Christmas. You know, everybody says that's about the birth of Christ. It has nothing to do with that. It's not time for me to get into that. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that he came. Amen. He was born there in Bethlehem through that virgin womb there of Mary. I have no doubt of that. I have no problem with that. So here the man of God was able to see through the telescope of time a child is going to be born. And we know that child was and is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also here in these verses it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Not only did he see there a crib, but he saw a cross. The Bible says not only did he see the birth of Jesus Christ, but as God allowed the man of God to look down through the telescope of time, God showed him the birth of that Lamb of God and how that Lamb of God would be born and how it would live that sinless, perfect life upon this earth for one purpose, and that was to go to that cross. A son has been given. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to Calvary and died for every man's soul. That blood was shed that we could have salvation. So the man of God saw a crib, he saw a cross, but he also saw a third thing here if you see in these verses. "For unto us a child is born," that crib. "Unto us a son is given," that cross. And then last of all, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder," and we see there a crown. I'm glad this morning I served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, he saw that crib, the birth of the Son of God. He saw that cross, the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. But we also see there the glorious thought that we serve that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords. And then instantly after it, we see these three prophecies of the crib, the cross, and the crown. God says something special. Notice there the wording. He says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." And notice, "And his name shall be called." Now this is what I want to look at just for a moment. And I, in my mind, I don't know how you are. I'm not perfect by no means. But as I read, as I study, I try to think a little. You know, I know that's a process in our day. Not many people think much. They just ask Google what Google thinks. Well, I didn't ask Google what Google thought with this. I asked God to help me see something here. And this morning, as he sees this great prophecy of a child being born, a son given, that crown of who God and Christ is, I couldn't help but think what must have been running through the mind of Isaiah. Now I know this morning this isn't Isaiah's words. These are God's words. God inspired, God spoke, God put in the heart of man and he wrote. But I can only imagine it, and this is my thought this morning. You ever played that silly game, word association? You ever done that? You know, if I say boy, what's the first thing that comes in your mind? Girl. If I say bat, what do you think? Ball. And you know, little things like that, that first thing that pops into your mind. And I got to thinking as I read of this great prophecy of a child, that birth of Christ and the death of Christ and the reign of Christ. And then the very first thing that comes into the heart and the mind of the man of God was this word: wonderful. There's not much today that I can say, boy, that's wonderful. But I can say this morning when it comes to God, and boy, we need more of this in our day. I don't know why the church has got numb to this thought. I don't know why we get more excited about the world and the things of this world than we do about God. There the man of God, as he sees this greatness of God, he sees wonderful. Hey, this morning, when's the last time you read your Bible and you said, wow? When's the last time you got around some preaching and you just said, wow? When's the last time your heart just got filled up with the Holy Ghost and you just said, wow? Hey, friend, we ought to be wild in our day because of who our God, not about that preacher there or that church there. Man, we ought to get away from that garbage. That ain't nothing but filth and trash that you allow to rob you from the glories and the wonders of God. Hey, the man of God said, I saw the birth of Christ and I saw the death of Christ and I see the royalty of Christ, and all he could say was wonderful. This morning, you ought to let your face say, wow. He is wonderful. couldn't help but think this morning about a verse that comes to mind so many times, Hebrews chapter 2. In verse number 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect? And then the next wording, so great salvation. Where has the greatness of salvation gone in the church? Where's the greatness of salvation gone in my life? Where's the wonder of God gone in my life? Friend, this morning, when's the last time, friend, that God stirred your soul? He's wonderful. And that salvation is still great. That word wonderful, I began to study and look at that word itself. And this is the definition that I found that just blows my mind. Again, he saw the birth of Christ. He saw the death of Christ there on the cross for the sins of man. He saw the crown of Christ there as that King of Kings as he rises in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And he said, his name shall be called Wonderful. Listen, today again, we are so short-minded and we don't allow our minds to run and to just engulf and engage and to let God just paint a picture really of who He is. That word wonderful, notice the definition here. It denotes something, notice the wording, indescribably great. Can I ask you this morning, if I ask you to play a word association with me this morning, as we just did, and I ask you boy and you said girl. I ask you the word bat and you said ball. If I ask you hot, you'd probably say cold. Well, let me ask you a word. Jesus. What would you associate? I don't care what wording that you could come up with. I don't care what item or something that you could try to compare Him to. He's altogether lovely. He's much more than my mind could ever comprehend. But here the man of God, as he sees this great prophecy of what God is going to do through the birth and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first things out of his mouth was wonderful. That word wonderful denotes something that's indescribably great. Have you ever tried to describe your God to somebody? I always turn around and leave thinking, boy, I left that one real short. It's like telling my wife, and I tell her all the time, I love her. And I do love her. But that wording sounds so vague. It's just a word that rolls off my tongue, a word that many times we do without even thinking. I asked a guy the other day, just picking brains at each other. I wish we'd come up with a new way of greeting. I really do. We do more lying when we greet somebody. How you doing? How you doing? I could care less. But how you doing? And then he's going to say, fine, but he ain't. Right? We do it all the time. But how do you describe our God? God says, let me help you. He's wonderful. Is he wonderful to you today? Or has something robbed us of his wonder? That definition of the word wonderful is something that is indescribably great. How would you describe him? I can't. Whatever I would say just doesn't fill the boxes. The wording goes on there for wonderful. It denotes something indescribably great. That which is so tremendous and so amazing that it is literally beyond all description. It speaks of that which goes beyond human comprehension. And God said, He is wonderful. I ask you this morning, is your God wonderful? Do you ever just lay in your bed and talk to Him and you think, wow, He's just wonderful? Do you ever walk throughout your day talking with Him and He's just wonderful? I wonder again this morning, how would you describe your God? Take your Bible. We're coming back here to Isaiah. Stay with me, but look with me in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32 this morning. As you're turning, let me read another verse, I believe, that goes along with that thought of describing the word wonderful. Isaiah chapter 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's the wonder of the wonderful of God. You can't fit Him in your box. Our vocabulary cannot describe Him. But if He's not true to you and He's not real to you, I remember 4th, 5th, 6th grade. Teacher's name was Miss Revis. She's dead now. I remember her making a statement and she was so true. I wish I would have listened. There's a lot of things teachers told me that I wish I would have listened, but I didn't listen to her either. She says, read all you can and build your vocabulary. You ever been around somebody that has a real good vocabulary? They know big words. I've been around people, I'm thinking, I ain't got a clue what he said. So you know, that's how big my God is, but He's so big that He allows Himself to be so small that the simplest child can see Him and understand Him. What a God. Now that's not this world. That's my God. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Again, we're looking at the fact that He is wonderful. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 32 real quickly this morning. Let's begin reading several verses, but I want you to see how wonderful we see Him. Look in verse number 17 as Jeremiah prays. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Is that how you see your God this morning? Can you say, "Oh God, the one that hung the moon, the stars, the one that spoke and everything that He spoke came into existence"? That's what Jeremiah is saying. Verse 18, "Thou show us loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name." Amen. How wonderful is your God? Is He... are you unable to describe Him? Is He just so big that... oh, that's not it. Oh, no, that's not it. Do you stretch for a word that would even come close to saying how God and what God means to you? Then you've lost the wonder of who God is. See, I look out many times and I see the stars up in the skies and I think, wow, my God did that. And then that same God talks to me and walks with me. He's a wonderful God. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel and among other men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt, with signs and with wonders and with strong hand and with a stretched out arm, with great terror, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it." See, Jeremiah, as he's praying to this wonderful God, he speaks of His glory, he speaks of His power, he speaks of His compassion. He speaks of how that God that spanned out the heavens is the same God that took a group of little people by the nation of Israel and promised and guided and brought them into this place of milk and honey. Verse 23, and they came in and possessed it. Then notice what he says, verse 23, but they obeyed not thy voice. If God is so wonderful, why would you not listen to him? If he's so indescribably wonderful, why would you not heed the call? Here, Jeremiah says, look at all that God has done and what God is doing. And then verse 22, has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not the voice, thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. That's that same wonderful God. The same God that did speak into existence the heavens and the earth. The same God that did lead them out of Egypt. The same God that promised them a nation and gave them a land. It's the same God that's getting ready to cast evil upon them. Behold, verse 24, the mounts, they are come upon this, unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence that what thou spoken is come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah speaks of what Isaiah saw. A God that's wonderful. A God that's able to do beyond what I could ever ask or think. Behold, verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that they fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the house upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. And I wonder this morning, do you see the progression? Do you see this morning the wonder of God, how God took this nation and protected them and brought them to this place, and they chose not to worship their God. They chose not to acknowledge the wonder of how wonderful He really was and decided they'd do their own thing, their own way. And God says, I see it. And He allowed destruction to come and He allowed that evil to come upon them. Can I say this morning, that's the same God that I serve. I wonder how wonderful He is to us this morning. Drop down just a little further to verse 36. After all this evil, verse 36, and He says, and now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, that same city that He's cast evil upon, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, verse 37, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear of me forever, and the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Do you see the wonderful God? Isaiah saw the crib. Isaiah saw the cross. Isaiah saw the crown. And then he cried out, His name is wonderful. Oh, today, is God wonderful to you? Look with me quickly over in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 40. It's so sad to see people today that claim to love God and there's no thought of how wonderful God is to them. They walk through life like it's just another day, another time. They go through the motions of church just as that way, another motion of church. But friend, this morning, if our hearts would really realize that we are in the presence of an almighty God, not just here, but everywhere I go. Psalms chapter 40 this morning, verse number 5 says this, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to notice usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." I challenge us all this morning, maybe not to really put it down on paper, but it'd be good to try it, I believe. Would you go home today and begin to, in your heart and your mind, to start thinking and writing down words that describe the wonders of God to you? How long would your list be? John said it this way, if the oceans were ink and the sky was parchment, the world could not contain the things that he did. How big is our God? I'm saying this morning, church, the world will never love our God. The world will never desire our God until we desire God. Real quickly this morning, and again, the word wonderful denotes something that's indescribably great. And these are just some things that quickly, and again, we'd be here forever throughout eternity speaking of the things of God this morning. But first of all, I want to give you about 6 things. I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to give them to you. Let them fall upon your heart and see if they find some good ground. Isaiah said his name is wonderful. What's wonderful about my God? I couldn't help but think, first of all, this morning, how the wonder of his desire. Of all, and this morning to think, you know, if I ask you, well, what is your desire? Oh, I'd like to be, I do not play the lottery. I just think it's wrong to do that. But this past week, I guess it was, somebody in California won, what was it, $500 million, something like that. Boy, I'd like to win that kind of money. If I had that kind of money. Is that your desire? Would $500 million be all you'd want? Man, preacher, I'd just take one. Me too. But $500 million, I don't know. How far, if you stack dollar upon dollar, how far 500 million of them would go? If you'll let me borrow them, I'll count them. But I'd say she'd stack pretty high, wouldn't she? But when I lay it beside how wonderful my God is to me, that does not even compare to the greatness of my God. When I think of His being wonderful, I think about the wonder of His desire. Can you imagine? I can't. Again, His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. I'm just trying to think out of my little bitty capability of a mind. I would think that a God that could speak and say, "Let there be light," and there was light, I would think that God was pretty capable of doing anything. What would a God like that desire? I don't think He would desire 500 million. Why? Because what's 500 million to a God that owns it all? What would God desire? And when I think about the wonderful side of God, I think about His wonder of desire. You know what He desires? He desires me.
Amen.
That's how important you are to that God. The Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. God, this morning, His name is wonderful. And His the wonder of His desire, just, I cannot describe it. Well, the Bible speaks of a man that would lose one little old sheep. The Bible says what would leave 99 in the wilderness to go find that one little lost sheep. That's what my God did for me. Is that not wonderful? That God would love me to the place that He would seek. Look, I've lost a lot of things in my life. I'm still waiting for all the pocket knives that I buried to come up. I'll be rich in pocket knives. I've buried more pocket knives than I couldn't tell you how many pocket knives I've lost. I'll lose something, and the older I'm getting, the more I lose. I'll lose something and I begin to search for it. You know, after a while, Brother David, I finally just say, I ain't going to find it. And I quit. You ever, anybody lost anything and just gave up? Can I tell you this morning that our wonderful God never gives up? He's constantly seeking and searching. For what? For you. He's wonderful, the Bible says this morning. I wonder, is He wonderful to you this morning? Again, it's the word wonderful denotes something that's indescribably great. And again, I can't describe how wonderful His desire is. I also began thinking of not only His desire or His seeking, I got to thinking about Him as a Savior. He's wonderful. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost. That's pretty wonderful, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of people been saved. I read this week where they had four or five people drown off the coast of North Carolina this week. But there was a lot of people saved out of the ocean this week. But if I saved you out of the ocean, guess what? You can get right back in and die. But see, my God doesn't just save me to set me right back out in it. The Bible says that the Son should make me free. I'm free indeed.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? To realize what a Savior I have. The Bible says that He found me in a horrible pit.
Amen.
That's where He found me. Where did He find you?
Amen.
Same place. And He reached down in that horrible pit and picked me up out of that pit. And He set my feet upon a rock. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. John chapter 6 and verse number 37 says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's the wonderful God that I serve. Not only do I see the wonder of His desire and the wonder of the Savior, but I couldn't help but think after being saved. You know, it's wonderful to be saved. Every day I get up and every day at night I lay down. And I know that if I died today, I'm going to heaven. I think about it. I ponder it. I long for it. But can I say to you this morning that being saved was just the beginning of something great? I can't help but think of the wonder of my shepherd. Now I know today in our society, most people don't think nothing of what takes care of you. Me and Brother Terry, we like to talk about farming. Brother David, I saw something this morning you need. I was telling him about it. This thing, we got to get a bigger tractor, though. He was hauling 12 round bales at one time. 8 on the back, 4 on the front. Most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. May have made that. It'll break. But we like talking about farming. You know what most of our generation today, if I went back there and talked to some of our young folk over into our children's churches, they have no idea where food comes from. Back when I was in high school, a long time ago, graduated in 87, so back around 85, 86, I was pretty involved with the FFA at that time, and they sent us out to all the elementary schools in our little area, and we did a project for FFA of talking to people about food. I grew up in an agricultural society. Even then, you ask a kid, where does milk come from?
The store.
You'd be amazed, Brother Terry. You won't be because you're in it. There's a lot of adults this morning that have no more thought than where their food comes from is if I need milk, I go to the store. That's all they think of. They don't know of a farm somewhere that's laboring to produce that milk. They don't give any thought to it. And I'm afraid many times that we as a group of believers that say we love the Lord, so many times we have taken for granted the wonderful God that we serve in His capacity as a shepherd. That shepherd, look at Psalms 23. How He leads me beside that still water. He feeds me. He protects me. He's constantly looking. He's constantly on guard. That shepherd, oh my. Again, people don't think nothing about it, but even in Bible days, when they would bring those sheep into what we call a barn, you know what the shepherd would do? He didn't go to the house and say, "Y'all all right? I'll see you in the morning." You know what he'd do? He'd get them through the gate. You know what he'd do? He would set himself in the doorway that no sheep could get out and no wolf could get in without him knowing. I wondered yesterday when you were out about loving this world and doing whatever it was you were doing and enjoying your day with your family or whatever it was you were doing, do you realize that your God, that shepherd, that great chief shepherd, was constantly on guard, constantly overlooking where you were going and what you were doing, trying to protect you and keep you from harm? He's wonderful. I think about the wonder of His desire. Why God would even desire somebody like us. I think about the wonder that God would go to the place of saving somebody like me. I go to the wonder of the thought that God is so wonderful that He meets my needs. He supplies everything I ever desire. Whoa! What a God we serve. He's a wonderful supplier. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, 19, it says, "But my God, the one that Isaiah saw that was born in Bethlehem, that one that Isaiah saw that was lifted up between the heavens and earth and cried out, 'It is finished,' that one that Isaiah saw that came out of the grave victorious, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." Quickly, this morning, I think of the wonderful dedication. Boy, it saddens me. I don't understand it. It's happened too many times, still happening. I'm not going to stand here this morning and say it ain't going to happen to me, because it can happen to me. I see so many people quitting. Sickening. Bothers me. I don't understand. If God is so wonderful, how can you quit on God? But it happens. Are you going to be the next casualty? Oh no, preacher, I'll never. That's what Peter said too. But I think about how wonderful my shepherd is in his dedication. If I was God, I'd have gave up on us a long time ago. But he never gives up. He's dedicated to the work. He's dedicated to the cause. The Bible talks about there when it comes to that security. It talks about my Father in John 10. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. That's my God. He's wonderful. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's the dedication of my God. Nothing can take me out of His place. Last of all, this morning I see the wonderful future. What's your future? Well, we've been joking around. It ain't going to happen. But we're going to buy an RV and hit the road. So we're going to winter out in Florida and we're going to summer out in Montana. That ain't ever going to happen. It's not my desire to happen, to be honest. Well, preacher, when I retire, man, I got my 401k. Got this nest egg over here. We're going to live it out. Is that all your future holds? Let me tell you about my future. John 14 says, He's gone to prepare a place for me. Now, we say that. I've seen some really neat things in my day. Buildings that man have built. Brother Wyndham brings those pictures of some of the great cathedrals and different things across the world that man has built. Brother Richard back there, he's an engineer. He can build a big old bridge. Pretty amazing what a man can build. Brother Richard, you ever seen those bridges that man builds fall? I've seen pictures of them, hadn't you? Brother Wyndham, you ever seen any of them big old buildings where they were so great and mighty and then another army comes in and blows it up? Yeah. Whatever man builds, I can promise you, it's going to fall apart. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Let that sink in a moment. That's the same God that said, let there be light. I wonder what He is preparing. Well, preacher, you know the Bible says it's a street of pure gold. Is it not more than that? Hey, preacher, it's got a gate made out of a pearl. Really? Is that all? Hey, preacher, it talks about those stones that the walls are going to be made out of. Really? Can you describe that? I can't. And He's going to prepare a place for me. Isaiah said His name is Wonderful. Now I'm not a motivational speaker. You're saying, yeah, you're right. I'm not. I'm not here to motivate you. But what I am doing is try my best to let God stir your heart. I want to ask you, and I mean it with all my heart, I do. Because I'm asking me. Is the God that you say you love and serve, is He so big that you can't describe Him? Or is He just so much religion that you just endure Him? I believe, if you'll be honest with yourself this morning, if you're saved, there was a time in your life when you just couldn't get enough of Him. You went to bed thinking about Him. You woke up thinking about Him. You went throughout your day thinking and talking to Him. What happened? Who robbed you of that wonderful God? He's not lost one thing. He's still as amazing as He's ever been. Closing with a few verses and we're done. Two places, Psalms chapter 78. Oh, I wish He would be wonderful again in my life. It's not Him that's changed because He never changes. There's something in my life that's standing before Him. You know, that's one of the great verses there in Isaiah. Isaiah said when King Uzziah died, then he saw the Lord high and lifted up. It took the death of that king for Isaiah to see something. Apparently, there's something in my life that needs to die this morning so that I can see the wonder of how wonderful He is. Psalms chapter 78 this morning. Psalm 78 verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Have you quit telling people how wonderful the work of God is and started talking about how terrible everything else is? One other place, Psalms 139. Oh, He's wonderful. Isaiah saw a child born. He saw a son given. He saw the governments upon His shoulders, and he said, "His name's wonderful." Psalms 139 this morning. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, my understanding, my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. The psalmist said in verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about Thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Isaiah said, "He is wonderful." What do you say? Denotes something indescribably great. If somebody asked you to describe your God, what would you say? Do you know Him this morning? Is He real to you this morning? I hope He is. He wants to be. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.